And welcome to Catch the Flavor Radio 600 Dundas. It's your girl, ICE. You know, we're here with the whole crew tonight.
Hey.
Don't know how we do, you know, big things are going. It's a nice summer day, so.
Beautiful day.
You know, yeah. We're in the basement, just lounge. It's a little bit hot in here, but it's all good, you know. Got to do what we got to do. So, and you know, you always hit us up, www.catchtheflavor.com.
Yeah.
So, you know, today we have a special show. The first half of the show, we got our boy Ashif here to talk about some issues, you know, that he wants to get off his chest. And second half of the show, we're going to play a pre-recorded piece from Youth Week, since it still is Youth Week, you know, in T-Dot. So I'm going to kick it over to Ashif, and, you know, you can kind of tell us what some of your concerns are.
Hey, what up? The word of the day is racism. So what do you think racism is in Regent Park? Do you think it's really, it's effective in Regent Park, racism? You know, this we're talking about issues, you know, certain ethnic groups, are they being attacked by different kind of other ethnic groups? How do we solve this issue? We're going to be basically talking about that. I think racism is important. I mean, fighting racism is important to fix people, fix their youths, fix their mentality. So what do you say to that? Why do you think it's important?
So you kind of feel like youths in Regent Park are marginalized and stereotyped because they're from a marginalized community?
Yeah, basically that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Like people that pass by around here white people. If they pass around here, they'll give the youths a different look from a different race, like especially if you're in Regent Park. So what do you have to say for that? What do you think it is?
Well, I can agree that racism exists, like, not just Regent Park, but, like, nationwide, too. But in terms of, like Regent Park, I would say, like, we'll start by the patrolling around the community in the neighborhood. Because, I mean, I don't live in Regent Park, but, like, I work around Regent Park right now. So, anyways, like, so if I have to go and drive down to Regent Park, focus, and do my thing, right? So, I'm making a left turn down at Sumac Street, right around the parking lot. And I saw, like, the popos, like, just stationed right there and everything.
What are the popos? What is that?
The popo stand for the police officers that to police, serve and protect the community and everything. So we all know who they serve and protect. So anyways.
They're rich, right? Yeah. Anyway, let me just say something. Yeah, this is Baba Africa, Emmanuel Kadini. Yo, racism exists, but in Regent Park, I don't think it exists in a way that it exists in the other, you know, like in the typical way. Like the people in Regent Park, you know, we're a community, so we have black people.
I'm talking about racism within like different ethnic groups. You know what I'm saying? You know, there could be people from Sri Lanka, there could be people from Somalia, there could be people from Bangladesh. Yeah. I'm talking within the community. Is there racism between that?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. But I've been living in Regent Park for a very long time. Well, living quotation. But I've never seen that happening. Like all the community meetings I've been to, everybody, you know, talks in one voice as a collective. I don't see anybody, you know, being a part of like their own group. I don't really see. Like the Africans being by themselves or the South Asians being by themselves. I might be wrong, but that's how I see it.
What do you think about it, Ice?
I don't know. I have to say, like, I hear what you're saying. I think, yeah, there is, there probably is some racism or discrimination that goes on between different ethnic groups because there's such a wide range of cultural diversity within Regent Park. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure that does clash, just like you have everyone in certain communities has their own cliques, their own people that they're more familiar with because they have they share the same background, same culture. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, like looking at Regent Park compared to other quote-unquote at-risk communities or whatever they want to call them, I found that Regent Park actually had the most community, community kind of orientated than all the other ones, because I felt like, even though there is definitely some discrimination between groups, I found like, for the most part, like between whatever, black, white, Asian, you know, East Asian, whatever you want to, you know, all the different groups that live here, they seem to get along pretty well. Like, they seem to work together. Like, when we have events like Sunday in the Park, or we have events where everyone kind of comes together, I see that community in Regent Park that I don't see in a lot of other communities that are very diverse culturally. But I do know, I hear what you're saying, and I think that that maybe there should be more community, not to say events, but maybe more community projects that purposely involve different ethnic groups to come together and kind of have that common ground, so that those relationships can start to build.
You know, how would you send messages, meaning like to the other communities? Like, you seem to have a positive view of Regent Park and the community working together. So what can we do to send a positive feedback to the other communities? You know, how can we fight anti-racism, or how can you fight discrimination against certain ethnic groups?
I think maybe if there was an initiative started in Regent Park where, like I was saying, how if we got a bunch of different ethnic groups together, maybe to come together and work on a project or an event, whereas once that project is completed, or maybe part of the project could be to then take it to other communities, like Jane and Finch or like Malvern, and have some people from those ethnic groups go to these other communities and start, or maybe add on to the project with different ethnic groups within other communities. So kind of building those bridges and breaking down those barriers of discrimination, right? Because more times it's because people don't know about the other ethnic groups and where they're coming from and their background. And it's kind of like the lack of knowledge, really, because we all share the same struggles, right? I mean, a lot of people that immigrated here, I'm sure we face a lot of the same struggles. So there is common ground. It's just kind of breaking down those barriers of getting to know where each of us come from and respecting that and celebrating our differences at the same time.
Yeah, actually, sorry. Like, just back to that kind of, like, examples of the racism around the Regent Park, as before I was rudely interrupted. yeah, I was, like, making a left turn just to park down at Sackville, and then the popos actually, like, just went into the parking lot and followed me. I was just going to go to the Regent Park Focus, right? And then they started asking me questions. They started, like, asking for my ID and, like, my insurance and my registration paper and ownership and everything. And they started looking into my car and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, I kind of just, like, I wanted to be polite, like, with all due respect, officer. But what is it that I'm being, like, you know, stopped for, being questioned and everything? I didn't know that it was a crime to park around Regent Park. So, I mean, I guess, like, you know, patrolling right there and, like, marginalizing, like, the youth around here, or people that actually, like, if you have a nice car around Regent Park, maybe you will be asked a lot of questions, and maybe they will ask for all your documents too as well. So
yeah, that's what I see around, you know, in Regent Park. Yeah. Basically, the youths are being, asked questions by the police. So, I mean, isn't that a bad view to the kids? You know, why are we asked? So how can we deal with the youths, you know? How can we teach the youths, you know, how to deal with these kind of issues?
Right. And you talk about people coming together. We have, in Regent Park here, we have like 3 or 4 community gardens. And if you see the people who actually look after these gardens, it's the whole community coming together, you know, building their own community garden. You have people, you have African Americans or African Canadians. You have, you have Caucasians. You have, South Asian people coming together. You know, growing vegetables together in a community garden. You know, and that's one thing that we can do to solve any racial problems that we have. You know, so community gardens is a big way to solve racism in a community. We also have in Regent Park here, we have the Peace Garden. You know, it was created by mothers who have lost their children to violence and accidents, but it was built by everybody in Regent Park. Like, you have, you know, if you look at the women, the mothers who actually built the Peace Garden, you know, it was built, but, you know, they come from all around the world. So it's not just one race, it's everybody. So if you're looking for suggestions or programs, these are two programs that actually work. And if you don't live in Regent Park, you know, you come down here and see it before you judge us, you know, because we have a lot of good things going on, and, you know, that's actually solving racism.
And that's why we have focus to solve, you know.
Yeah, we have focus. You know, we're working with the youth here, trying to, you know, help them become more media savvy and stuff like that. But there's other programs in Regent Park which are doing the same type of thing, teaching people about being tolerance of other race and stuff like that. So,
ICE, you know, were you targeted here by anybody or in other kind of communities or anything like that?
That's a long story. I could talk for days about that one. But I think...
We don't have days.
I think, yeah, a lot of factors play into it. Like Jerry was saying, yes, there is. When you are in certain communities, yeah, you get targeted regardless. Even if you're a youth worker, even if you're whatever, it doesn't matter. If they see you and they think something's suspect, then more times in a community like this, they think something's suspect, even though it's not. But... I think the main important that Iman was saying was that to have that common ground, because, like, basically, like he was saying, the Peace Garden, you know, everyone from the community was involved with that, and all different nationalities. And at the same time, it's like they found a common ground. The common ground was to, you know what I mean, have this garden for all the people that we've lost and remember them in a positive way. You know, everything was either donated or fundraised to build the garden. And, you know, those mothers worked their asses off to get the garden and to finally do it. And like Iman said, they were from all over, like all kinds of different nationalities, right? But I think it's projects like that and projects, community organizations like Focus that bring together youths of all different nationalities, right? Because obviously the park is very diverse. But I think something that needs to be kept in mind when policies are being created and as well as policing for these areas is the fact that I think there needs to be a lot more knowledge and training around the different nationalities and where everyone's coming from and what they're bringing with them internally. You know what I mean? From where they've come from. People are coming from war. People are coming from, you know what I mean, life or death situations. And to come to a place and to be harassed or targeted for no reason is not appropriate. And they need more training around becoming more knowledgeable about the city they serve, because obviously they're not as knowledgeable as it should be, or else we wouldn't keep having all these targeted people, right?
I know the answer to that, because if I'm a police officer, why would I be running after people down that lives around Forest Hill or like all the rich neighborhood around Toronto? Like, why? There's not a lot of action there, and not a lot of things are being reported there. Even if, like, say, abuse is going on around their like neighborhood or whatever, no one would really actually go and report it. But like, say, if you're like around the Regent Park neighborhood, and then you have like say like a thin wall like that's kind of holding things together, and then you hear a kid crying or something, like children crying or like whining about something, and then people will say, well these people are probably like, you know, not taking care of their kids, and then, you know, they could be reported or whatever, and it's like sensitive, like a case sensitive area, even if it's not true or whatever. So for me as a police officer, why not like actually go into this neighborhood, because it's easy for me to work it, right? Like it's their word against my word, and it's not like, you know, like what are they gonna do if I'm at Regent Park? Wouldn't they believe me? Like, I have more credibility if I like try to arrest kids that are just chilling right down in the park and like innocently trying to like just, you know, playing ball or something like that, you know? So why should I actually like bust my ass off trying to like, you know, arrest like really like hardcore criminals? Like, why don't I just go to like small potato like parks and stuff like that and like arrest all these like little kids and stuff like that, right? Like I wouldn't do you know, so much hard work.
Yeah, yeah, the police, you know, I don't think it's up to us to actually say what the police are thinking. I think they have their own ideas and whatever in regards to Regent Park. But I think I'm going to pass the mic to Angie, and she's going to take it over.
Angie's not here today, but Ice is here.
Ice, oh, I'm sorry.
But anyways, I'm sorry. But yeah, no, and I hear what you guys are saying, like, and I think that, Jerry, you made a good point in the fact that, yeah, you know what, cops aren't gonna go after areas like Forest Hill and the thing is, but the funny thing about that is the people that they're catching up on the streets, like little runners or youths, are just little fish in the pond. The people who they need to be going after are the people who probably live in Forest Hill, who are running the show and have all the little kids in the projects selling their ish for them.
Yeah.
And they're sitting up nice in a nice lavish house in a nice rich area where they're not going to be targeted or considered suspect. But if more investigation was done around that, then maybe they would figure it out instead of targeting the little youths who are already marginalized and just trying to get by and doing what they have to do.
To pay rent.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. But did you have any thoughts on that, Ashif?
I think we're making a change in Regent Park, and I think all the other communities should learn from Regent Park. And basically, we're understanding the broader issues of racism, and talking about it will solve, much of the issues. And getting together as a community, even from Forest Hill or Regent Park, all of us together, working together to solve these issues against discrimination against certain ethnic groups. So, it's kind of it is really important to fight this battle, to have a community. Where there is no hatred up front. Up to you, Ice.
Well, I think those are powerful words, and in saying that, we're gonna move into a little piece from Youth Week, just because this week is Youth Week, continued from last week. It was a pre-recorded piece that we did with the Youth Action Committee and them.ca, but it's just a little overview. You guys can check out the whole show on the website, www.catchtheflavor. And if you have any more comments or concerns about this issue, hit us up at www.catchtheflavor.com.
Okay.
So we're going to just kick it over to the Youth Week session, and then we'll bring it back. And welcome to Regent Park Focus, Catch the Flavor Radio, 600 Dundas. It's your girl, ICE. You know we're doing it big here. We got the whole Regent Park Focus crew. What up, what up? You know, we only have a few mics, but E-Man, Jerry, you know, Sam. And today, you know, we got a special show. We got a few guests up in the house. We got Dave and Jonathan from them.ca. We'll talk a little bit about that in a hot minute. We got Kathy from the Youth Action Network as well. And it's Youth Week coming up. So big up. And so, yeah, basically, I'm going to kick it over to Devin for a hot minute. And maybe you can obviously explain, I guess, what them.ca is all about and kind of what you guys are working on.
Them.ca is a network of 35 artists in Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, and Chicago, and Barcelona now, actually. And right now what we're working on is the Beautiful City Billboard Fee. This is a tax on billboards with the money going to public art with a priority on marginalized neighborhoods and youth art. We have four objectives. We want more urban beautification and more employment for artists. We want more funding for policing outdoor advertisers. We want to diversify access to public space. We want to promote community ownership of public spaces.
Nice. So I see you were showing me a little bit before some of the things you guys are working on. Mm-hmm. There's a billboard campaign going on, is that right?
Yeah, that's the tax on billboards with the money going towards public art. We've been working on that for since about 2003, and it's been accepted by the Mayor's Office for Review. And right now they're working on it at the policy level, and hopefully we'll have some sort of public consultation this summer.
How did the artwork for that poster that you were just showing me just now come about? Like
the four hands? Yeah, this was an idea that my designer Natalia Grosner and I came up with, an artist named Dixon. And you can check out his work at them.ca.
And just for those who might have seen it with the Grassroots Youth Collaborative, the hands kind of doing the sign language is kind of what. So when you guys are already doing that right now, like working on the tax and the billboards and stuff like that. So you're planning on putting them up like within around Toronto, like the actual.
The actual tax is centered on billboards in Toronto and the GTA. There's been some noises starting in other cities right now. And so if Toronto can't get its act together, then some other city's going to beat us to it.
All right, cool. So, Jonathan, you're also with them.ca?
Yeah, I recently joined them.
Okay. And you're an artist, painter?
Yeah. I'm an artist painter. Actually lived in Nunavut for a little bit after I finished school in Sheridan College in 2004. After that, you know, I just wanted to get out of the city, experience something new. And ever since they're doing art and stuff like that, I've been very involved with youth. I've been doing some youth outreach through hip-hop and art out there. So sort of big hip-hop workshop that happened in February 2006. So it was a really good response for kids to, you know, to really express themselves and really show what they want to tell the world. So
I know you were talking a little bit earlier about some of the initiatives that was going down in Nunavut, right? With you're saying with the hip-hop kind of engagement,
B-boying. There was a big project that was done, as I said, in February 2006, but it was it was organized by Blueprint for Life Consulting. His name is Stephen Leaflore, a.k.a. Buddha from Canadian Floor Masters, who's the one who organized it with the government of Nunavut. And it engaged, it was a week-long workshop that happened, and there was probably 160 kids, and it was 8 hours a day, and they just, ever since people started finding out, more people started coming, and then at the end, there was a big battle and stuff, and the stuff they learned through b-boying was a great thing. And after that was done, they kept going with it, and then they formed a baby brother crew, and then just a whole bunch of things started happening, and now they're traveling to different communities and stuff like that, so it's good, you know?
True. And you also have a website where you can check out your stuff.
Yeah, you check me out at www.cruisecontrol.ca, that's C-R-U-Z, control.ca.
Cool. And you're also part of them.ca, right? Okay. And we also have Kathy here, who's from the Youth Action Network.
Hi there.
So Youth Week is going down this week coming up.
Yep.
So I'll just basically let you fill us in for all the youths that are probably, you know, that are listening to what's going on, and they could take part and kind of get involved.
Well, sure, yeah. I'll just mention the easiest way to find out about our events, all the details, in case you don't catch them right now, is on our website. So it's youthweek2007.org, or you could also go to the Youth Action Network website. That's the organization that's organizing Youth Week, and there's a link there for Youth Week as well. So you'll see all the events, throughout the week. Youth Week starts Saturday, May 5th, and it goes on through till Saturday the 12th. So a whole week, lots of stuff to do. It's even hard to know where to start with all the events going on. But the launch party that we're having might be a good idea. It's a film screening and launch party. So that's on Sunday the 6th, actually. And we'll have two different documentaries and a film screening of Khaled.
Yeah, this is Emmanuel Kadini here. I want to go back to the them.ca billboard campaign. Who are you guys going to tax? Are you guys going to tax people like Viacom, you know, CBS, and all these big corporate billboard makers? Or
yeah, the tax is just on third-party outdoor signage. So big billboards, Viacom, CBS.
Yeah.
Those guys.
And for the money that you guys get from doing these taxes, how are you guys going to distribute it to artists? Like, who do you guys have in your rosters that are actual artists? Like, 'cause
There's actually, a lot of artists in the city, so...
You know, we wouldn't actually take the money directly. We'd want to give it to an impartial arm's-length body like the Toronto Arts Council.
Okay.
So it would be collected by municipal licensing and standards.
Yeah.
Or through revenue collection. And then it would be directed to Toronto Arts Council, which would be... has the capacity to fairly choose artists and to build the kind of capacity around those artists to make those public art pieces happen.
So you guys are basically just fundraising for the Toronto Art Council.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's a little bit more than that, though. Like,
because once they have the money, I don't see how they're gonna distinguish, you know, where the money from you guys come from and the money from the other people come from. And I just want to know, like...
No, I had a long sit-down with them, and we talked about our priorities as far as making sure that there was a priority on youth art and making sure there was a priority on marginalized communities. And they were totally down with that, and I think they're people of their word, so I can't...
And let me ask you guys a vague question. What do you consider art? Do you think, I don't know, graffiti in the streets, do you think that's art, like... murals or like what's your own definition of art?
My opinion, and I've been part of the graffiti community since about 1994, is that it's up to the individual to decide what's art and what's not art. I'm not going to go in and say this is that or that's that. It's up to people to think for themselves.
Yeah, because for the old school, let me just finish this, for the old school people, you know, they don't think graffiti is actual art. They think it's just, you know, people just, you know, drawing something really ridiculous, like, and they do tags on people's storefront,
mm-hmm.
and some people think that's art, but you know, the old folks, they don't think that's art.
My personal opinion is I don't think tagging is art. It can be artful. I think it's more like advertising. I think if you look at the statistics, most youth can recognize all the major logos by the time they're, I think, 5 years old. And in such a brand-saturated environment where people see so many logos and that's so much been pounded into such a large part of their brain, it's no wonder the kids are going to be out painting their own logos on things.
Okay. I just have, like, a question about that, like, in terms of, like, mural arts and everything. Like, I mean...
And we're back. So we're just wrapping up the show. You know how we do... and to get the rest of that full show about Youth Week, you can tune into our website, www.catchtheflavor.com, CATCHDAFLAVA.com. And to discuss more about, you know, marginalization and racism and things we're talking about with Ashif, the first half of the show, log on and register, and you can go on and create your own forum and discuss it online through our CatchTheFlavor.com. And don't forget Regent Park TV. And tune in next week, same time, same channel. It's your girl, ICE. Everyone up in here, holla back.
Holla back.